Bay's Tan Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Welcome back to hour number two of the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, brought to you by our good friends at Sea Dogs Brewery. Of course, serving breakfast, world-class breakfast daily. Tuesdays is Taco Tuesday. I had some the other day. You would have loved those. And they have Wings Wednesday as well. Not to compete with our good friends here at Ferg's, because they do business together. And we've got Ice Pick Vodka here. But they have a great Wings Wednesday down there, 75-cent wings. And we'll have to get down there someday, throw down some coldies, Ray, and yeah, he'll smile now. We'll get you down there and we'll have some Wings Wednesday. And I had breakfast there yesterday. Always a great place for a world-class breakfast. John Rager from On the Tee Florida joined me.
I was just sorry, my Facebook page is blowing up because I posted the picture of Tom Brady and myself down here in the clubhouse with Tropicana Field in the background, and everybody's loving it. So sorry, I had my attention for a minute there. People just still love Tom Brady.
Oh yeah.
Well, who wouldn't when we're looking at the quarterback? We'll talk about that in a little bit, at the quarterback situation that we're facing this year. Tom Brady like that might be a bigger asset than what we're going to encounter in 2023. Hey, of course, we're brought to you with our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka. And then on the high school side is Coca-Cola Beverages and, of course, Body Armor. And let's take care of a little homework, and then we're going to talk to Josh Wilson. And not that you're a big tennis guy, but I talked to my good friend Billy McGee, who's a teaching tennis professional, played on the circuit, and he was busy giving some lessons. I was going to have him on and break down this, but why don't you wrestle with the winner's last name?
All right, so the woman's winner of
this morning
is Marketa Vondrousova.
That's wonderful job.
That was good.
Wow.
Well, yeah, that sounded just like John McEnroe saying it.
The loser's name is a little tougher. We have Ons?
Here it comes.
Ons Jabeur?
Well, Ons Jabeur, I think, is pretty damn close. But this is the second year in a row that she's lost in the final, and she was crushed. I saw that interview.
What's your favorite surface? Grass, clay, or just a tournament like the U.S. Open in New York? Wimbledon's always been my favorite.
I like this turf right here at Ferg's. What are you talking about? What's our favorite?
I like the clay. I think the clay is pretty cool. I remember playing tennis on the Xbox.
That's just clay is how cool I think it is. I don't follow tennis, but I respect the heck out of them.
Oh yeah, it's tough. I bet you I'd be putting it out every single time. I wouldn't be able to get it land on the other side.
Me, I love tennis.
I'll sit there.
Yeah, I got it. We got the love.
I'll stick to ping pong.
That's Ray Kennedy, and you know, never a dull moment with our man.
When can I do my cornhole update?
Yeah,
I got my cornhole.
Not today, my friend. Cup of Ray, of course. You can hear all of that. Brad Richardson just walked up to the lower course here at our 19th hole clubhouse studios. Speaking of golf, we moved from 5 to 7 each Thursday on the Tee Florida, and actually. This is a week of sleeplessness. If you're a golf fanatic, you're getting up at 4 a.m. The Scottish Open right now, and I have that leaderboard right in front of me. Did you pull it up, or are you still looking at tennis, Jared?
Oh, I was looking at tennis. I thought you had...
That's all right. I got it.
You're good, Mike.
I'm on it. Ray's over there trying to figure out how he's going to squeeze his cornhole in here. It's never going to happen. Rory McIlroy, which is great to see. It's at the Renaissance Club in Scotland. Rory McIlroy, very, very inclement conditions. He's on the lead at 13 under. If you get it up at 4 a.m. tomorrow, you can see round number 4. Tom Kim, he's one back. And Tommy Fleetwood, he's a Brit. He's 11 under. Then JT Poston, my man Ricky Fowler, Scotty Scheffler, number one rank in the world. Scotty sits at 10 under. But where is Ricky? He really kind of faded. He was in 10th place, and Ricky Fowler's now 18, 7 seven under, and they're all preparing for the Open. And the weather conditions a week from today in England are brutal.
Crazy thing. I'm literally, I kid you guys not, I'm ready to start Full Swing. Of course, the Netflix special Full Swing, I'm going to start it a third time. I can't get enough.
It's the bomb. Absolutely. Well, right now, let's switch to our Body Armor Prep Connection, because we've got Brad Richardson in the house, and we've got him on hold right now. Josh Wilson, who is... only at Fergs do you get that. We're getting. Is that your motorcycle, Brad, that you just pulled up and you let somebody park it for you?
Oh, yeah, that's the Harley I have reserved in the garage. You know that.
I thought so, my man. Anyway, conversation now with Josh Wilson. Fellas, we are only 2 weeks away from our Pinellas County Body Armor Prep Connection Media Day. Ooh. It'll be 10 till 3. I got to check with my producer, Josh Wilson. What's up, my man? How things going?
I'm rolling here. I mean, it's Saturday. It's storming up here where I'm in my neck of the woods in Gainesville. But I mean, it sounds like y'all are having a good time down there at Ferg. So yeah,
we'll make sure when you get down here Saturday, you'll have plenty of wings. You'll have a great time, and we'll do what you do best, and that is cover Florida high school football. And we'll be doing that on Friday over with Hillsborough County. And Dan LaForest and the gang, and then we'll be hosting our own with you at the lead at 10 o'clock on Saturday, the 29th of July. Looking very forward to it. And the teams are receptive so far, aren't they, Josh?
Oh, I mean, yes, absolutely. I mean, of course, you know, when you look at it, both sides of the bay, with the teams in it, between Hillsborough and Pinellas, I mean, you talk about these teams, the teams are receptive, the teams want their exposure, they want their publicity, they want to get their guys out in front and center because, I mean, it's that time to make an impression. It's that time to say, hey, I'm here. This is it's football season, and I'm going to go make a name for myself. And, you know, I want you to get – they want us to get their names out there because these are going to be the names we're going to be hearing a lot, of course, through the course of the season.
Well, you know what, as I decided to dive in about a year and a half ago, and the key was trying to find a title sponsor, and we were blessed to get that accomplished. But you got to admit, it's sad, and you've been battling it, but the mainstream media in the bigger markets, and it's across the country, does not recognize you know, the passion and the incredible talent that lays out here across this state. And it, like I said, it happens across America because you've got the pros, collegiate, in the bigger markets. Back in my home state of Iowa, it's college football and then high school. So they share a lot of that limelight. But it's guys like you that have continued to realize that it is very important. And people do have a passion for it. They've got emotional equity in it. From their communities, maybe it's the same high school they went to. Those are all the great things I love about Friday Night Live and the football across the state.
No, absolutely. It's a lot. It's really, you know, a lot of these guys, especially some of these guys that have been, you know, they play high school football, played at all three levels, come back, and now they're coaching these guys. You know, raising them, growing the next generation of talent. You know, it's really amazing. You know, how some of these guys, where they win, you know, where they've been, where what their journeys have been, and you know, for them, you know, I hear some of these coaches is like, I wish we had this when I was playing. Well, I mean, you know, because the, you know, of the experience with the media days, it's so cool what you know you hear from the different teams. You hear from these coaches, especially when they're talking about, you know, their playing days and, you know, what they're trying to bring to the kids now these days, because the game of football has changed. It's evolved. I mean, even in the last 10 years, it's evolved. I mean, you talk about some of these guys, you know, where they played, you know, football 25, 30 years ago that are coaching, you know, and they're like, you know, the game has evolved so much, and you know they didn't have these big gold media days, you know, like what we're all doing now. So the experience for them to come out and to get, you know, in front of different media outlets, you know, especially the fact that in this digital age where, you know, you have so much between, you know, the old school traditional media between television and newspaper, you know, then radio, and then you got these, you know, podcasters and digital streaming, and then, you know, along the way you got websites. So it's like, there's all this, you know, increased media exposure in different ways. But then there's, you know, at the end of the day, there's still also that, you know, if you look at the way media's gone, you know, that the traditional media side still, you know, has decreased a little bit on in some aspects because, you know, especially like newspapers have cut back a lot, you know, and even some of the TV stations have cut back some. So, it, you know, the more exposure these guys can get and the coaches can figure out a way, you know, and it, like opportunities like this, they're going to come to it because it's one more opportunity for their guys to get in front. Be out in the front of it, and you know, and you know, you never know. You know, you get that one college recruiter sitting there here, and the kid is like, "Oh, this kid's a character guy. I want to go get him. I need to go watch this guy." So it all adds up, and you know, it helps build team confidence, team camaraderie, and you know, and eventually, ultimately, hopefully, team success.
You know, one thing, Josh, you mentioned is, you know, these guys that advance into the collegiate level, some of them make it to the league, the NFL, and then they come back to their communities and give back. And a prime example of that is a guy that I just talked to, and he's traveling with his family. He's definitely in. He's Marcus Pascal. He's up there at Largo, the Packers. And Marcus and I talk a lot because of he went to the University of Iowa. And he's one of those guys. And we ask him, you know, in his career, and what he wanted to do in life, what did you want to do the most? And his answer was, which I thought was absolutely amazing, he said, "I always wanted to come back and coach the Largo Packers, his alma mater." Now that is a prime example of these guys giving back, and he's a great role model. His kids love him, and his kids stay with his program, and that's another thing that you and I can discuss. Brad Richardson's joined us; he's our Prep Connection expert, and you know, those are the kind of coaches that the kids look up to. They're younger guys; they can relate, but they also, you know, have the respect. They have the badge, the NFL. And I think one of the things that we should collaboratively do, Josh, with you and the FloridaHighSchool.com is get Brad and you guys digging around. How many of the local high schools kids have advanced to the NFL and the collegiate ranks? Because those numbers, I know they're out there, but we should talk about those maybe on a weekly basis after we get our media days behind us. Because that's a cool factoid that our audience likes to listen to.
Yeah, no, absolutely. All these different little things that are sitting out there, the little different factoids and different things that you can find. It's like you find information sometimes, you're like, wow, wait a second, I didn't know this about this, you know, XYZ player, whoever it might be, you know, or even the coach for that instance. Like, oh, wait a second, I didn't know. I mean, it's like you start looking at this information, and not just, you know, from a local standpoint, but from a regional or a statewide standpoint, you're like, oh my goodness, you know, it's like, oh, wait a second, hold on here, you know, but you know, this, you know, this really actually happened. Okay, so it's these kind of different facts and things, you know, finding that information along the way, you know, accumulates into the deep history of what football has been about and what it keeps being about in the Sunshine State.
It's funny. Uh-oh. Well, it's funny, Mike. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, sorry. It's funny, Mike. You mentioned Largo High School. You know, think about one of the alumni that went there, and he graduated in my class, Dexter McCluster. He went on to play for the Kansas City Chiefs. So he's one of them. I mean, Seminole High School, you have none other than Daquan Jackson and then Ryan Fowler. I mean, some very big names that went on to play in the NFL. Those are just three starters that I know of. So,
and Lakewood right here, they have, I think at one time, 11 kids under Coach Moore's reign have made it into the NFL. Yeah, now, I know it is 11. Yes.
Wow. Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's definitely something there.
And you look at it across the board. I mean, if you start looking at a lot of these schools, you know, you start digging down. I mean, I'm sure that there's probably a few for, you know, like places like, you know, like in Eastlake, you know, Carpin Springs, Clearwater. You know, you start getting to the other schools, you start looking at where you have gone, where these kids, you know, they went from high school to college to now, you know, they played in the pro ranks at some point, you know, and it's like you start looking at, you know, schools. I mean, even sometimes you get one with a school that, you know, maybe that doesn't traditionally have a lot of success, and there's somebody that, hey, has made it to the NFL. So it can be done.
Yeah, absolutely. It can be done. It's just about the right coaching, and with each player, it's going to be the work ethic. If they're willing to put the work ethic out there and the drive, they're going to get to that point. They just got to know that, you know, it takes each step to do it. So, and you know, it's not going to be an overnight success going right into the NFL. That's the biggest thing.
Here's another thing. Take a look at the collegiate ranks, fellas. How many high school kids in this state, believe it or not, it would astound you from a national perspective. We just had Sports Thread coach Ed Shank walk in, and he can certainly contribute to that. But the number of players coming out of this state is absolutely phenomenal. And as you said, when we have our media day on the 29th, we're even going to have some eight-player teams. Now, growing up in the Northwest Iowa, we had eight-player in Iowa, Nebraska, South Dakota, and some great athletes have come out of that because they are great athletes because they have to play a lot of positions. And I love that game, and I'm so happy, Josh, that you're reaching out to those guys for our Pinellas County Body Armor Media Day. I'm ecstatic about that.
Yeah, and you know, there's three eight man teams there in Pinellas County, Lakeside Christian, Shorecrest Prep, which, you know, believe it or not, Shorecrest Prep at one time used to play 11 man, and Canterbury, same with them, they used to play 11 man football, but you know, these are smaller schools that we're talking about. And you know, for a lot of schools, for them, it's, you know, for these schools that are smaller, you know, eight man might be a more logical approach, because you know, you're not having to sit there and, well, I got to find three more guys to put on this side of the ball, and then hopefully I got, you know, have enough guys to put on the other side of the ball, and hopefully I can keep a roster, you know, and not lose guys, because, you know, that happens to smaller schools. But Sunshine State Athletic Conference is the one that sponsors the eight-man league, and they're up to 30 teams this year, six divisions, 30 teams, and across all parts of the state, and it's very interesting to follow what they do, and their season, their regular season starts on the week of kickoff classic. So the eight mans will start that week of the kickoff classic and go, and they have their own playoff as well. But for these schools, you know, that play eight man, you know, it's time to give them a little bit more of the, you know, exposure on them and give them their due diligence, because they're just, you know, they're out there playing football on Friday night just as much as the 11 man teams are. And you know, it's cool to see eight man kind of grow here in Florida, because at one time, you know, there was six man football in Florida. I mean, we're talking going back, you know, 50, 60, 70 years ago when there was six man football. A lot of the smaller schools had six man football because it just, you know, there was the 11 man was, you know, in a lot of areas, because Florida was very much more rural. You're talking about that time frame where, you know, it's been, okay, 11 man football in more of the bigger cities, but and maybe some of your more, you know, maybe, you know, towns of the suburban towns that are, you know, outside the bigger cities, but for especially rural towns, I mean, six man football was their thing to go. So, but to see that, you know, there's a, you know, eight man football that is growing here in Florida, you know, it's definitely, you know, important to give them their exposure and all that. So, and the Sunshine State Athletic Conference is doing a great job of building the eight man football teams up, and that three of them in Pinellas for the Pinellas Media Day will give them their exposure on Saturday, July 29th.
We certainly will. Brad, one more comment, then we got to rock and roll, take a break, come back, talk a little U.S. Marines right here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection.
You know, it's funny you mentioned Shorecrest. I know they went far last year with eight-man. They did really good this past season with eight-man football.
I love watching it, man.
Oh, yeah.
I watched six-man in Wyoming before. I'm telling you what. That's interesting.
That
reminds you of the backyard days, boys. I'll tell you right now.
Yeah.
Six-man in Florida as well. And we've got an expert in the house, thank God. All right, my man. I tell you what, Josh. Keep banging those coaches' numbers. If you need help, I got a couple interns. Bradley will help. We'll get all the coaches and players down here, and then we'll talk more about your contribution and commitment to women's flag football, because it's girls' flag football, something I wanted to touch upon this year. We did not do a good job there, but now we have you in the mix. It's going to happen. So keep rocking and roll. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Call me anytime. Let me know who we're updating for 2 weeks from today, from 10 to 3, right here at Ferg Sports Barn Grill. We'll have the speakers out. The parents can come. Coaches, Body Armor will be handed out to everybody. We'll have a blast. And that's from 10 to 3. And, of course, I want to thank Josh Wilson and FloridaHighSchool.com and Sports Thread and Mike Rickard and the entire Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Prep Network. We'll be rocking and rolling. Let's take a break. We'll come back, talk a little Marines, recruiting, anything that this young man wants to talk about. He's got a coldie in his hand, and he's ready to rock and roll. All right, we'll be right back on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
Time's over. Reset the clock.
We're going to shut them down.
Dial the down.
Do it!
And get your head in the game.
Visualize an attack. Yes. Visualize an attack.
Yes. Get the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
I take a scotch and water. Hold the scotch.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Champa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action with over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game-watching events, concerts, and of course all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
It's another weekend. You can wash the car today.
No.
You can mow the grass today.
No.
You can go fishing.
Oh, hell yeah.
When it's time to go fishing or head out on the water, your first stop should be at Angler 360. Angler 360 is located on the Dunedin Causeway and is the one-stop shop for all your fishing needs and water recreational needs. Angler 360 has rods, reels, live and frozen bait, tackle, beer, and soda, plus apparel and sunglasses. Make sure you stop in and see exactly why Angler 360 is the premier bait and tackle destination in the Tampa Bay area. Visit them at angler360.com.
Fred here. Welcome to the Sea Dog Treasure Island, a waterfront brew pub with a golf-inspired menu. Known for handcrafted cocktails and a wide variety of award-winning Sea Dog and Shipyard beers brewed right on site. Now serving breakfast daily starting at 8 a.m.
Chef Charlie here, featuring our homemade family recipes. Come try Big Mama's homemade biscuits and gravy, our award-winning shrimp and grits, and our handcrafted Maine lobster Benedict.
Located on the water, just walking distance to the Treasure Island Beach. Enjoyment for all ages. Cheers.
Pulling out all the stops of the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. We are perched in our simulator. This is our lower course. It's the Yuengling Center, and of course, Florida Sports Connection, on the tee, Florida, each and every Thursday from 5 to 7. I've got my golf show upstairs, the golf simulator. That's 5 to 7. That's our new time, and we will be moving the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection next week from 11 to 1. You'll have to get out of bed earlier, youngster. 11 to 1.
Ooh.
And
like you're cutting into my sleep schedule. What's going on?
I know that. Well, you can go
that
back.
You're going to have to go to bed and not stay up all night.
You can go back and take a nap. But anyway, we are live each and every Saturday right across from the Trop. And, of course, the Rays play the Kansas City Royals. Of course, the Kansas City Royals tonight. They got rained out at Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City last night. And now we're going to I think he did. He ran down and got himself an adult beverage,
probably
Coach Jenk, and because he knew we were up here in the not so climate conditions, but it's not bad. You're used to this kind of thing. I want to welcome. Grab the microphone, my friend. Make sure he's got the right side of it. Hopefully, we'll be having you on more often. And I want to welcome U.S. Marines Gunnery Sergeant Angel Garcia to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. How are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And God bless you for your service. That's near and dear to my heart. I had a son in the military, and we talk red, white, and blue on this show. And God bless America at the end of every show. So your efforts and your commitment are well-respected in our environment. I appreciate you coming. So let's do a little bio. Where are you from, my man?
So I'm actually originally from Orlando, Florida.
Okay.
Grew up there, and about right after high school, I decided to go to Marine Corps.
Talk like you're talking to some of your new enrollees.
No problem. Right after high school, decided to get my stuff together, join the Marine Corps. I did two tours in Iraq, one tour in Afghanistan.
God bless you.
And around in the middle of my Iraq tour, before the Afghanistan tour, I actually spent a year on the All Marine Corps boxing team.
Now we have something in common. 30 years in the boxing world. 35 actually.
Awesome.
What weight class were you? We'll talk Marines in a minute.
Absolutely.
What weight class were you?
So I was at the 100. I started out the 152 pound range, and that was really, really big for me. My frame, that's a big frame for me to fill. So I went down to 141.
I was a welterweight back in the day, and I ran 147, and then I got involved in the Golden Gloves and promoting, and then my cousin was the boxing coach at the Air Force Academy.
Okay.
And I went pro, and I had an illustrious career. I went 0-3. I also owned a bar, and I was a businessman, a family man. I thought I can get back into this.
Right.
After 2 5-round TKOs. Nah.
Yeah.
Didn't train enough. You know, at least you're training all the time in your world.
Absolutely.
But when you're opening the doors to a place for cold beer and breaking up fights, yeah, you're not preparing for your time in the ring. That has to be something that drove you with your commitment to your military commitment, because it's a discipline that you certainly have to stay focused on.
Oh, 100%. And it was just I got really, really lucky, because normally guys in coming from my background, I'm an infantry guy by trade. Of course, I'm a recruiter now, but I'm an infantry guy by trade. So we don't really get much opportunities for these for sports, and I just had really good leadership at the time, and my sergeant major at the time gave me the opportunity, and I took it, spent a year there, and it was great.
How long were you in boxing? How old were you when you started?
I actually started late. I started when I was about 14, 15 years old, and then So that's why I say I was very lucky. 14, 15 years old, that's late to start in the game. So getting just the opportunity just to be on an all-Marine team, that was a godsend.
Absolutely. I started at 5. My uncle was in boxing, threw me into there. I had sons. I taught them how to hit the bag, defend themselves, and then I handed them golf clubs because I knew that would last the rest of their lifetime. But I loved working with young kids, the youth, and the sweet science. And I would kick them out of my gym in Des Moines, Iowa. I was in an urban community. They would come in and say, "Hey, can you get me ready for MMA?" I'm like, "I'll get you ready for MMA right out that door."
Yeah.
I'm just an old codger. I love the sweet science. And we're going to do a lot of business and have you on often. So how old were you when you made your commitment to the Marines?
I was 18 years old.
Right out of high school.
Right out of high school. Right when I got out of high school, I knew I wasn't going nowhere. I was working at grocery stores. I worked at a U-Haul, and I just didn't see any light at the end of the tunnel whatsoever. And I just thought about back to my Marine Corps recruiter by the name of Staff Sergeant Williams. I still remember him to this day. And he was, he would talk to me here and there in high school, and I didn't want to listen to him. But
does anybody 18 want to listen to anybody?
Exactly.
You're dealing with that right now in recruiting, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you're infantryman. God bless you. I mean, people just don't realize. And I have a son that was wounded and the whole deal, and dealing with PTSD to this day. And so I'm very committed. We do a lot of we get involved in any golf tournament organization that's given back to the wounded, and even the Wounded Blue in America. I made a lifetime commitment to that. So God bless you, and I'm sure your lovely bride deserves plenty of support during that process. But with that background, I'm just assuming that has made you a fearless recruiter, because you've done it. You've been there, done it. Yep. And you know the obstacles to become a successful Marine. But there's so many other options out there for them to get involved in. And you were involved in the boxing side of things. So talk about how you're able in this 21st century, when there's so many options out there. I'm old. I think that the kids are soft in today's world.
I agree.
There you go. Well, we're boxers. I think that they're soft, and it's got to be tough to recruit at that level of expectation that you have at the Marine Corps level to find those right guys.
and yes, you definitely have a point. And I will tell you, now these kids nowadays in this generation are a lot different than like you, respectfully, sir, you're much older than I am. And even then, we both look at this new generation like, what the heck? But what I've found in my 4 years on recruiting that these kids want the same thing that every other young man wants. They want a sense of belonging. They want discipline. They want structure, even how much they say they deny it at first. But deep down inside, they know the tools to make it in this life, it lies in things like structure, discipline, work ethic, things, the tools that the Marine Corps has to offer.
That, I hate to say this, but that's what America needs. Our foundation needs that. And I applaud you for that. So what's the process? You guys are basically salesmen. So you're cold calling high schools, right? And you want to get it. You want to get in the door. And today's unique world, we'll just leave it at that. Do the high schools welcome you in, or they shun you?
Actually, surprisingly, every state has its battles, and I feel sorry for like the guys recruiters up in New York or in California, right? Because down here in Florida, we have some excellent schools. Yeah, every now and then you have a school or two that doesn't want to let you in for various reasons. But as far as my team down here in St. Pete, the vast majority of our schools, we have a good relationship with, and they let us in generally when we want, because they know we keep the best interest of the students in mind.
Now let's talk about it. You come into my home, and I've got an 18-year-old son, and he's a decent athlete, but he's not certain. He's not getting offers. He's not certain what he wants to do in his life. He's an Angel Garcia, right. All of a sudden you sit down. Give me a snapshot of what you're going to inform me about for my son that might make sense for him. And he loves athletics, and he knows the commitment, and just kind of give me a quick rundown of that.
Of course. So I would tell your son, I would tell any young man or woman that has an athletic background that's just not getting the offers they desire, they want or need, that hey, there is a place for that in the Marine Corps. A lot of people don't know that, you know, war fighting is our first function, but that's just one is our main function, and that's just one of our many functions, right? So I would tell that young man, that young woman, that hey, we have a place for you if you are talented enough. There's Marine Corps sports that go around year long, and with that you can try out. All the while, school's paid for. You can get a technical skill, say in engineering, be an electrician, or be in the tech field or something like that. And all the while, you can be playing your sport. You can be acquiring college credits and having some fun at your sport at the same time. That's what I would tell that young man.
And you know what? People don't realize, you just brought up all the trades. That's the trade opportunities from a financial perspective these days are phenomenal from a financial standpoint.
Absolutely. And I would tell you and not just getting certified for the trade, right? I think every adult would agree with me on getting the certification for a trade or getting a degree in college. That's all good and well, that piece of paper that says you're certified in something, right? However, it's the experience that's the Achilles heel for a lot of the young men and women, and that's where we also fill that void. Not only do we offer sports, but also you can get certified and have that experience and leadership experience. You can that leadership that you need in sports, that transitions to everything as well as that trade.
Angel, I got to interrupt for a not so serious moment. Would you get over here and beat the hell out of these two? I don't know what they're doing, but they've got Tom Brady. Yep. He just came into the clubhouse. I don't have a clue what yep. they're up to, but
it's been a while since I've laced up the gloves.
All right. Well, I don't think you'd have to lace up anything. You'd just scare them to death. They'd run out the back door. Anyway, so let's talk about the sports side of things.
Yep.
So they get to travel. They pick what they want to focus on from an educational perspective.
Of course.
Then what is the commitment? What are the options of commitment?
When we're talking about sports?
No, when we're talking about the Marine Corps.
Okay, for the Marine Corps.
Yeah, 2, 4, 6, 8.
Yep. It's 4 years.
Okay.
There's 4 to 5 year contracts, and that's active duty, right?
There's also reserves that people don't pay too much attention to. You can stay in the area, right? But I can talk about that later. But when we're talking active duty, generally it's a 4-year contract, some 5-year. The only reason there's 5-year contracts out there is for the job field. Like, for example, if you're going to go be an intelligence Marine that can pipeline you into 3-letter agencies such as CIA and FBI, the training for that, the school for that is very long. So that's where that 5-year contract comes in. Uncle Sam's going to get his 4 years no matter what.
Well, absolutely. I mean, for what they're receiving,
of course,
the opportunities for a lifetime, right. And then they can still get their college education their trade.
Yeah.
I mean, four years is not asking a lot.
And what people don't know is, like, for myself, I've never sat in a college classroom. I'm just not built for it. However, I have 180 college credits at my disposal right now. Like, out of boot camp, you receive a young woman that comes out of boot camp receives about 11 college credits. And the basic and the advanced courses that they take, being job-wise or just Marine Corps leadership-wise, that also offers them college credits that they can attribute to their education. And they're doing education, and also if they're in a skill set such as intel or engineering or background like that, it's just the possibilities are endless.
You know, you're a heck of a salesman for an infantryman.
Oh, I do.
Wonderful.
I do
salesman.
Right. I do all right.
Yeah, and then when you tell me you're a boxer, I might be whatever you say, Angel. Let me sign right here. All right, a couple other questions. You know, everybody thinks that you probably are going to be an infantryman and you're sent to the front lines. That's probably a very small percentage of guys.
12%.
God bless you.
Yes,
12%. Okay. So the opportunities are enormous for the other fields of life that this will benefit, with the free college, with the opportunity to participate in sports if they still want, and see the world.
Absolutely.
We're forgetting about that.
Yeah.
So, you know, at 23, 24 years old, you got a heck of a foundation. And if you do want to, as Coach and I have said, if you do want to go play college football, and there's a lot of young, older guys coming into the collegiate ranks these days that didn't make the decision, but if they have this option, paid for, and then they decide, hey, I think I can play at USF.
Yeah.
Whatever the respective sport is.
It's absolutely
that you guys offer for them. So I don't see the downside for a young boy or girl that's looking for an opportunity and is just not sure what to do.
Absolutely.
And that's your job to get in those schools and get them closed, right?
Of course.
Yeah. Hey, in the event that someone would like to talk to you, how do they reach out to you? Is there a website? Is there information? Is there a direct line to Sergeant Angel Garcia that people can contact you?
Of course. So
that's not how the world of sales works, but it's great when it does, right?
Oh, cool. A little plug in. I absolutely appreciate it. If a young man, young woman want to get a hold of me, or even a parent, right? Because I don't block out the parents, because I know it's important to also get the parents buy-in. But they can simply, you know, we live in the world of technology technology now. You can Google Marine Corps St. Pete, Google Marine Corps Largo, Clearwater, wherever you're from. I'll take you to my closest office. I have three in the area, one in Clearwater, one in Seminole, and one down here in St. Pete. That's almost done getting built. And if you wanted to reach me directly, my number would be 321-662-0640. I say again.
Say that again. Yep.
Yep. I say again. Gunnery Sergeant Garcia, 321-662-0640.
321 sounds like we're ready to start. 321, Sergeant Garcia. All right, my man. Thanks for coming down and sharing this. I had a pretty good perspective from my man here, Coach Shank from Sports Thread, but I wanted to hear it right out of your mouth. And we got plenty to talk about in boxing. We're going to be starting a boxing podcast on FloridaSportsStream.com, and I might be giving you a phone call for some conversations and a little history if we get the missus' approval to have you down here.
I have to ask her about it. Yes.
All right, my man. Have a great weekend. There's my card. Let's take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk shenanigans. I don't know what these clowns have been doing behind me. We'll be back on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Halftime's over. Reset the clock.
We're going to shut them down.
Dial the down.
Do it!
And get your head in the game.
Visualize an attack. Yes. Visualize an attack.
Yes. Get the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
I take a scotch and water. Hold the scotch.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Mm-hmm.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. Want a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season? The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront, ice pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection with partner RadioSt.Pete.com launched a new sports streaming channel, Florida Sports Stream, on RadioSt.Pete.com. Florida Sports Stream provides local and national podcasts, radio shows, live events. The Tampa St. Pete Prep Connection will broadcast Florida high school boys and girls sports, live play-by-play coverage, media days, award ceremonies, positive stories and content across Tampa Bay, Florida, and the USA. From the Pee Wees to the Preps to the Pros, recognizing positive participation in sport and the people that make a difference. Podcasts include NASCAR, Florida Fishing, MMA, Rays, Rowdies, Bucks, Lightning, local media personalities, pickleball, local colleges, FCA sports, Florida Sports Hall of Fame, and NFL Alumni Tampa. Just a few of the shows and podcasts with dozens on deck. That's Florida Sports Stream on RadioSt.Pete.com, supported by Body Armor, Sea Dog Brewery, Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, and Ice Pick Vodka. Take a listen and have a championship day.
Pulling out all the stops in the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. Right across from Tropicana Field, Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. I'm Mike Rickard, and we're brought to you by Sea Dogs Brewery, where they're serving breakfast daily. And right at 8 o'clock to noon, superb breakfast. And, of course, Wings Wednesday and Taco Tuesday. Brad Richardson is going to dive into a little more high school conversation. And then we'll wind up with a little roundtable bullet points, bang, 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 to the top of the hour with Ben Botham, of course, Ray Kennedy. All right, my man. See some interesting factoids.
All right. Well, so, you know, just this past week, the draft, and there was a few players.
MLB draft,
correct. That just got into the draft, of course. Real quick, Calvary Christian, the one guy I've talked about all season, Landon Morodis. He was drafted by the Toronto Blue Jays, fourth round, 121st pick. He was originally going to go to NC State. Great batting average, 400 this season. And with pitching, this is what they were looking at him for, 2.07 ERA. Another one that got drafted from Calvary, Eric Kennedy, graduated in 2018, and he's going to the Kansas City Royals. So over to Coach Menendez, he got two kids in the class of 2020, Bennett Lee.
Jesuit High.
Yeah. Menendez did. Bennett Lee and Camden Messini, they both got drafted. They both were at Wake Forest. So they were great.
Wake Forest was ranked number one.
I mean, look how they did in the College World Series and all that.
Yeah.
Now, one I want to talk about real quick from Mitchell High School, Aiden Miller. We didn't get to see him all season play. Mitchell was actually in the Georgiadis this year. Unfortunately, he had COVID, and he actually had an injury, which prevented him from playing. He got, of course, drafted by the Philadelphia Phillies. And at one point during this past season, he had COVID. That's what Coach Chittum told me that he couldn't do. And the other one from Mitchell was Trevor Harrison. He was drafted by our own Tampa Bay Rays in the fifth round. So
hometown boy.
Hometown boy, exactly. Now, just real quick, I got to get all your guys' opinion on this. The NFHS Network, okay, they just approved something. Get this. They want to use one-way communication device between coaches in the dugout and a team's catcher for purposes of calling pitches. Starting in 2024. Ben, Ray, let me get your opinion on this. How do you guys feel? I mean, Ben, you're an old school dude.
Well, I didn't like it when they brought it to the majors, but if they're doing it in the big leagues, I mean, what are you going to do? You can't say that they can't do it in high school too. So I'm not a fan of it at any level, but if you're going to do it in the bigs, sure.
Maybe I get some prepared. I mean, it's not something I have to get used to then.
No, yeah.
Well, for me, and Ben, I agree, but for me, the thing is,
at the little league, the high school level, these are when we need to keep these players interested in the game, on the balls of their feet, and paying attention to try to steal pitches, which has been going, goes back to what, 18? What?
Yeah. Let me look at the Astros. Yeah.
So next, is it little league? Are we starting to do that? Are we going to have the soccer moms run on a field and giving them oranges between plays? Yeah. I mean, you know.
Well, it's funny. You know, one of the things that they did say with this, all right, they wanted to help this increase the pace of play during a game. And basically, they wanted to basically make sure the playing field was level for each team. So you have one team that has it, the other team does not. They're basically now saying, okay, all teams can have this. If you want to spend the money, put it out, go for it.
And who's going to pay for it? Because these teams, like Bogey, can barely pay for uniforms, man.
Exactly.
And that's a fact.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, this was just approved and everything like that. So, we'll see what happens. We'll see how many teams jump on the bandwagon for this. They might even have to approve it before each game, basically saying, like, okay, does anyone have the devices? Yes. Does the other team have it? No. Well, guess what? You're going to be calling back with coaches on third base to each pitcher saying this is what's going to happen to each catcher. So, they're just going to have to go back to old school, Benny.
Yeah, I like the sound of that.
Yeah,
exactly.
And just real quick, update.
Ben Botham.
Yeah, exactly. Mr. Scrooge over here. All right. So just a real quick update on coaches. As we talked about, Mike, Ralph Rogers is going to be going over to Zephyr Hills to coach.
Great coach.
Absolutely.
The Hollins coach when they were rolling.
Yeah, Ralph Hollins. Rogers. Yeah. And so now, but they have selected a new coach, Ryan Valdez. He played at Alonzo High School. He went to State College before transferring to both Florida State and USF, drafted by Pittsburgh and played four seasons. He has experience. He coached at IMG, Carrollwood Day, and Hillsborough Community College. He will start in the 2024 season with Hollins High School.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now I'm getting excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's some pedigree coming to your alma mater, bro.
Shout out.
And just a real quick one, Tarpon Springs' head coach did step down. Taking over the team is former Tampa Bay Rays pitcher Seth McGlung. He will be taking over. He's
impressive again.
Yeah. He's played six seasons with the MLB. He really stands out. You know, I mean, he's called Big Red. That's his nickname, is Big Red. He's
credibility right away.
Yeah, 6'6". Let's just say that. Football and all that. Bogey has now a new head coach.
Break that news to me, which will make me weep.
Yeah, Bogey, yeah, their new football coach selected Myron Dillard is going to be that. He was really big. He went to Texas A&M. He was a wide receiver there, and he was recently on the coaching staff for FAU. He is going to be stepping in and hopefully bringing Bogey into a new era of football. Now, here's the thing. We are also still waiting on the new head coach of Northside Christian. Obviously, Mike Alstott, he stepped down this past season, so anticipation.
And with him, he took his son, I believe. His son was an assistant. I don't think that he's remaining on the staff.
No, he's not. No, Griffin, as far as I know, is not. So, yeah. But yeah, that's what's going on right now. Obviously, we talked about it, July 29th, football press day and all that here at Fort Ferg. So we'll get to see all the new players and some of the coaches. We'll get to see what their game plans are coming up for the season, Mike.
Is Coach Mancuso still over? Is he still over there at Northside Christian? Or?
As far as I know, No.
You're just about a decade behind.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he's Ray Kennedy and Ben Botham, and let's talk a little bit about the home series coming, because it's going to be critical this Thursday. We'll see how we get out of Kansas City, but starting this Thursday, you've got the Orioles. I believe we got the Rangers, and I believe the Astros. Is that correct?
Yeah, that sounds about right. I know this series, Rays versus Royals, is super important.
We need to sweep them.
Yep.
We do need to sweep them. You look at how we kind of ended the first half of the season. I think we were like 15-25.
We were limping.
Yeah.
So we got that little win, and now we're playing, you know, a last place team with the Royals. We need to get these wins. So that way we do set up a little bit of confidence. We're coming back from the All-Star break. We have Randy Arozarena, who excited, almost won the home run derby.
Is Yandy coming back from having the kid?
Yeah, yep. Well, I mean, he was there at the All-Star game.
Well, I know, so. But they induced labor the next day so that he could be there, and I didn't know, you know, how long he's going to stick around.
That's my first baseman right there.
Exactly.
So I think after all this excitement, all the, you know, the showmanship is going to come back and help us kind of project ourselves deep into this season with a little bit more life at the plate, a little more life on the mound, and hopefully it kind of takes us into the postseason here.
So it's Baltimore, and then I do believe
Marlins.
Oh, it's the Marlins.
Following week, yeah.
You know what? I was a Marlins fan last night. It's 1-1. They're playing the Orioles, and then the Orioles bats just You know, it's in Camden Yards. I love that park. But the Marlins are, you know, very competitive, finally.
They're our state. It's a battle for the state of Florida. I mean, you can do it as that, but they're also playing pretty good baseball. And they got that one player who's batting, what, 380 now? He's literally 400.
He hit a jack last night.
Yeah, he's on the hunt for 400. He wants to be the first guy to do it since Ted Williams. 1941. Was when he did it.
I wasn't born yet. You're looking at me like Mike has the answer.
I wasn't even twinkled my parents' eye yet.
I'm pretty sure. I think it was 41 is when Ted Williams
did it. Your parents were barely rocking and rolling at 41, dude.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I'm excited for that. But, yeah, you're right. Baltimore, Miami, Houston, and then New York and Detroit. So we got a good little, you know, stint coming up here. And I think the Rays are really going to come at it. You know, with their best foot forward.
Given where we're at right now, let's say we don't win the division. We would have to have a complete meltdown not to make the playoffs at this point.
We'd have to keep playing like we've been playing, you know, these past, you know, 25 games.
But the beauty of the majority of the East was playing just as bad, with the exception of the Orioles.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, you're right. The Orioles and maybe the Blue Jays. And the Blue Jays kind of bounced back.
Yeah, and that's the team that you predicted to win to get to the World Series. I don't know if you predict them to win it. No, but a lot of people did.
I've been saying that for a while. I think the Blue Jays are a really good team. And I don't know if something's not clicking or if they're just in a hard division with us, the Orioles, the Rays.
It's a brutal division.
Yeah, it is. It's the toughest division in baseball.
I mean, Ben, look at what they have stacked on the roster and everything like that. You have Vlad Guerrero, Bo Bichette. I mean, come on. Those guys are staples now within those teams. So
they certainly are. I mean, especially after a home run derby performance of Vlad, the first father-son duo to win the World.
I'm telling you what. Did you watch that home run derby?
Yeah. Well, I wanted Randy to win it so bad.
Well, we all did. But I tell you what, Junior looked gassed. And I didn't understand the philosophy. Maybe you can explain it to me, Ben. They hurt that last 30 seconds. They hurried it up, and Randy didn't get it up. He only needed four dingers, and they increased the pace, and he got out of his rhythm. I thought, am I right?
No, it looked like he did. I mean, you have that 30 seconds, and he didn't hit two over. I think it was 440 feet in order to get.
And that was a problem. Yeah,
30 seconds.
One was 1 foot short. Literally,
yeah, wow. 1 foot short. And that's what boosted Vlad Guerrero Jr. is he had those two bombs like that, so he had an extra 30 seconds more than Randy Arozarena.
Junior certainly doesn't have his father's chemistry and makeup from a physical. His old man still a specimen.
He's got a nicer swing than his father. His father's swing was ugly.
Yeah, I'm just talking about physical. I mean, the old man still looks felt like he could play.
It's all about intimidation, basically. Yeah, I mean, when Vlad steps up to the plate, he's an intimidating force. But his dad,
that was a record amount of home runs hit that game. 341, traveling over 26 miles if you added up the distance for all the home runs hit that night.
Wow.
And something else. Did you guys see that kid get popped by Vlad Guerrero?
Yes.
Saw that.
That was 120 off the bat, and that kid dropped like a sack of potatoes.
That's the end of that.
It was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Was it in the face?
Right off his head.
That's not funny.
You have a dark sense of humor.
That was funnier than hell.
The best drop was Big Cat from Pardon My Take when he said, look, let it be drunken college kids out there, and then I could get into really getting a laugh out of it. But yeah, that's the last time you'll see those poor kids running around out there.
I was loving it. And the reaction of the kid standing next to him took a step back, hand over his mouth. Oh, my God.
Buddy just got freaking cold cocked. I don't want to be next to you and something happens to me. He's going to start laughing and going, wow, did you see that?
The kid saw it coming. He had his glove up. It had a little bit of run on the ball. Right off the
door. It's a major leaguer's. Brad said, Joe Burrow and Matt on the controls. I'm Mike Rick. Thanks for listening to the Tampa City Sports Connection. Seeing you and your family is a fabulous weekend. God bless you. God bless America. And as always, be sure to have a championship week.